The message this morning is entitled, The Spirit of Christmas. It's a series that we're going into, and this is part one, specifically labeled, The Spirit of Glory. The Spirit of Glory. And I just want to open up with prayer that we can glorify God this morning. Lord, we recognize that you are in this place. We recognize that we can set our eyes on Jesus and off of ourselves. Lord, and we just do that right now. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to have your work and have your way, not just in our church, God, but in us as individuals. Lord, have your way here. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to empower this place to do the work of ministry. Empower us to preach the gospel, to share the love of Jesus with everyone around us, and to see things happen in our valley that have long been foretold and promised. God, we want to step into all of these. We're asking to do it now and do it in us. We ask this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. All right, well, church, I want you to feel released this morning to amen and hallelujah as much as you want. I like to tell our church that I'm not going to hold you back. If you're from a church that holds back a little bit, you're in a good place. You are in a good place. But church, what is the spirit of Christmas? You hear that term a lot around this time of year. There's a lot of different answers. It's peace, it's giving, goodwill to mankind, love for everyone. And all of these are right in a sense. There's none of those that are bad. But when people say the spirit of Christmas, they refer to a shared attitude or feeling, the way something is intended or interpreted and applied. One that is typical for a particular time, a place, an activity, or a group of people. But I think that we need to pause for a moment and rethink some of this. Because there's nothing wrong with all the good things that we have mentioned and all the shared experiences of Christmas, but there's perhaps something that is more right. Something that all of this is included inside of, is something that is meant to be shared, because the true spirit of Christmas is the Holy Spirit. I don't think that got a big enough amen. It's the Holy Spirit, and he's working in this place today. He's moving in us, and we want him to do so. But he leads us as Christians to embody all of these virtues that we celebrate at this time of year, and that we share as the people of God. In the Christmas story, it is the Holy Spirit at work in the lives and in the stories involved. He is guiding, shaping, and creating what the will of God wants, just like he does in our own lives. But we see this in the love of God in our story, the Christmas story, sending his son to a virgin born to redeem the world that did not want him. He's the light of the world, and all this is revealed by the Holy Spirit. He is the spirit of Christmas. We see it in the joy and peace of Anna and Simeon getting to see baby Jesus for the first time in the temple, promises that they had longed waited for, but they got to experience the Prince of Peace and true joy giver. And you get to see it in the gifts that the wise men bring, following a star, following the call of God, so they could honor a king. And then finally, you see it in the shepherds, surrounded by a host of angels, giving glory to God in the highest. You see, in every part of this story is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit leads and reveals him to us. Because he is the peace, he is the joy, he is the love, he is goodwill to men. He is the message of Christmas. Because the true spirit of Christmas that was and is to come is at work in the hearts of men, bringing the meaning of Christmas alive. He is the Holy Spirit of Christmas. And we can often focus more on what he does or what he gives more than the reason of everything, of who he is. You might think this is a weird series to start because it's kind of on the Holy Spirit. But while praying this week, I felt the Holy Spirit says, do not let up. I want to move and I want to do something. We can't get our focus so much on the ceremony of Christmas when it is the Spirit of Christmas that is working and wants to work. Don't lose that focus. It's the same Holy Spirit that orchestrated the Christmas event that wants to orchestrate everything in your life today. It's the same Spirit. And we read that in Romans 8:11. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Amen. He's the Spirit at work. God wants to work the first Christmas in you this Christmas. He does not change. He is the Spirit working. But today I want to focus on what the Holy Spirit is orchestrating in the lives of the shepherds in the Christmas story. When they receive this message, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. Church, he is the Spirit of glory this morning. The Holy Spirit wants to bring God glory out of everything. And watch this, including you. Including you. That word glory means to think or to recognize. It's to ascribe to him his full recognition. It's part of God's unchanging essence. It's to be spoken of, the honor due, the praise, the applause. Church, he is the King of glory, which means he is the King of recognition. He's deserving my recognition and honor more than anything else in existence. The Spirit leads us to first see the glory of God in things. And then to share the glory of God with people. And finally, to be the glory of God as we share him with others. And in light of that, let's read our story in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. You're welcome to turn there and make sure that I'm not lying to you. Chapter 2. It's quiet in this place. That must be just the Holy Spirit at work. Luke chapter 2, 8 through 20 says this. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child, and all those who heard it marveled all those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Are you thankful for the Christmas story? Amen. Amen. Number one, we must see the glory of God in things. Verse 8, I'm going to read that again. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night." There is a message in that today, that God is meeting people where they are. And we've heard that a lot, but watch this. It's to a people that already know God. They knew the scriptures. They sacrificed in the temple. They were at the temple or synagogue probably every week. But in the dark night and the ordinary place, God met them. And that's important because wherever dark place you're in, or however ordinary you feel, God wants to meet you. And in that place, something happens instantly. Instantly is what that phrase actually means there. An angel appeared as if at hand. Something God likes to do, I feel like, is often to give a wake-up call. Picture this, you're out doing your job, maybe your friends are sleeping because you're on shift, and watch this, you wouldn't have known a thing. You wouldn't have known that the King of the universe was making himself revealed in the town that you're in. Friends, God is moving, and he is working. Be sure you see and don't miss what he is doing around you. You'll be working or sleeping or out with friends, and he will be moving. He will be planning, and he will be revealing himself if you are looking. He's inviting you to be a part of what he is doing. Be sure to recognize his glory. Recognize it wherever you are. You could be in a situation like the shepherds that maybe it smells like the wrong end of a sheep. And right there, wherever you are, God wants you to see his glory. To see his glory. In verse 9, it says this, "Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." There was instantly an angel there. And the root of that means he was at hand, like he had been there all along. In church, we don't know everything that's going on in the spiritual realm. We can't see that most of the time. But there could be angels around you at any given point. And that's important to know because God is already working on your behalf, whether you know it or not. Whether you know it or not, we see with eyes of faith, not of fear or in the physical realm, but with eyes of faith, because God is working and he is moving. It says, "The glory of the Lord shone around them." Do we also take time to see the glory on, around, and in our lives? Can you see its light shining on every little part of your life? Sometimes, It's the glory of God in the littlest of ways. Sometimes I'm just thankful and it gives God's glory that my car is not broken down. I'll share a story of what I like to call the glory of God. I was down south with my cousin, and it was over 100 degrees in the summer of Texas, and he had no air conditioning in his car. And I was fed up. It was hot. And I slammed my fist on the dash of his car and said, "In the name of Jesus, work." And that thing blew dust in our faces and came alive. And I have never forgotten that moment. I don't think he did either. And that glorifies God. And there are, of course, bigger things than that. But are we looking, are we recognizing, are we wanting the glory of God in our life? Are we giving him credit for what's happening? Do we also see the good in the bad? This is a hard one. The shepherds could see the angels. They could see baby Jesus. But let me give you a picture of what was happening. They were under Roman control. And within 2 years, King Herod would kill all the baby boys in that town. And at the end of that baby's life that they got to see, there would be families torn, heartache, people dying for their faith. It's a lot easier to focus on what is and can go wrong. But church, in the midst of wherever you're at, there is redemption and there is life. And God will bring good out of whatever bad thing that you are in. He will make sure that if you partner with him, he will get glory out of it. He will get it. And when we start to look for it, we follow his spirit. And when you start seeing it, you'll want to see more. In the same way, the angels went from one to probably thousands. God works in the suddenlies. Maybe you need a suddenly today. Maybe you need a miracle. You need hope. You need direction. Church, when you begin to look for the glory of God, he will suddenly appear. Many here can attest time after time that God has come through in a sudden way. He's building our faith. And just like the angels, he suddenly appears. He's there all along. Church, your suddenly will come through. Someone probably needs to hear that today. Your suddenly will come through. You trust God and he will meet you right there. If he has to send one angel or 1,000, your suddenly is on the way. You might not see it, but it is there. He has planned it already. And watch this. In verse 9, it says, they were greatly terrified. In verse 10, it says they had a message of great joy. Church, you have a choice in any situation, in any moment. You can either be greatly terrified or you can choose to believe in great joy. There is always joy, even when you want to be afraid. There is always joy. In verse 15, the shepherds say to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass." When we start giving glory to God, not just seeing others do it, like the shepherds could see the angels do it, but when we choose to see it, when we choose to give it, it leads to new revelation of who Jesus is. The shepherds could have said no. I want you to picture that. You probably think, who in the world would say no to seeing baby Jesus, right? But church, so often we say no to what Jesus wants to do, what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do in our lives. And when we step into seeing the glory of God and wanting to be a part of that, it leads us to a new revelation of who Jesus is. You see, the shepherds didn't know what they were looking for. A baby in a manger. A new revelation of who Jesus is. But the enemy wants to get your eyes off of the glory of God and onto anything else. Remember that. When you see his glory, you then want to know him more. And when you see his glory, you must give him glory. And that's what we're meant to do as well. We join with the angels and give him that glory. We see his glory, we then share his glory. In verse 9 again, it says, the shepherds were greatly afraid. And sometimes we can be afraid of the glory of God shining into our lives. Because we get used to the dark. Or we want to hide things. We don't want to or don't think that we can join with the angels. But church, this is one of the most comforting and peaceful things that you can hear today. And that is, God knows you're not perfect. He planned for your stupidity. I can say that with love, because he planned for mine too. But he doesn't plan for you to stay where you're at. He plans to meet you where you're at and take you out of that, because when you choose to let him bring you out of something, that gives him glory. So when we choose to not step out of something, we rob him of his glory. We can rob, and let's not rob God this morning. The angels brought a message of good tidings and great joy. And friends, that's the same message we have today. The promise of freedom is here. And watch this, that promise doesn't always look like what you expect it to look like. Israel wanted a king that would basically blow up the world and be in charge of everything. And they got a baby. Church, sometimes God's going to put a baby in your life because it's a seed that's going to grow into something that will change more than your life. It's going to change the world around you. Look for the glory of God. Look for it. But the Holy Spirit orchestrated all of this, just like he wants to orchestrate everything in your life and my life. He's chosen you to be a part of what he is doing, and we must give him glory in that. Church, if you are new in your faith, old in your faith, or you don't have faith, there is a message of great joy this morning. Great joy. That's why God sent not just one angel, but a host of them, probably thousands of them, praising the Lord. And that's important because at this time of year, it gets stressful. Has anyone been stressed around Christmas time? Sometimes we don't have enough time. We don't have enough money. We don't have friends. We don't have family. We just maybe feel like we are not enough. But the Lord wants you to know that he is moving, he is working, and he is loving you. And in one of the darkest times of history, that's when he chose to send his son. Wherever you are, help is on the way. And there is, because of that, at every moment, cause for rejoicing. One person is excited about that. There's cause for rejoicing every single moment. And when we realize that, we then join with the angels and begin to praise God to give him the glory due him. And that word praise means to applaud, to tell a story of his greatness. That's what it literally means, to tell a story of his greatness. So when you tell people about Jesus, or when you even sing a song about Jesus, you're telling them of his greatness. When you witness, you praise him, you give him glory. And watch this, to tell his story is to give him glory. To tell his story is to give him glory. So we join with the angels and say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And this is the proper response to the message of the Savior of the world. Heaven rejoices. And heaven inside of you rejoices. The Spirit leads us to rejoice. No matter what else is going on, you take a moment and you remember that Jesus picked you. He picked you. This is not a dodgeball game that you are left on the side. Jesus walks up to you and says, you specifically, I want you. For what you are, for who you are, I want you. That's why he sent his son. But heaven rejoices inside of us. And they rejoice in that message that we just read, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And this was a foretelling of what would one day happen in Luke 19:28, where it says, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The angels are recognizing the kingship of Jesus. Do we do that also? This is the message they had been waiting for. And we see that in the story, but church, this is the message that we've been waiting for. It's the message that the world around us is waiting for to hear, of hope, of life. There is joy. No one could have those things more than you as a Christian. No one. And that's what we're celebrating this season. You have a great message of joy. Be sharing it. Rejoice in it. Because it's not just peace. Watch this. It is the one who is peace. The world looks on peace as something to just have. But we know the one who is peace. And he was sent to make peace. Before, there was no hope of peace. And now we are confident that we walk in the peace that the Holy Spirit brings to us through Jesus. It says, goodwill to men. This means that you are favored by God. You are favored by God. A better translation than the King James offers is this: on earth, peace to men on whom favor rests. We have so many reasons to praise and glorify God this season. The Spirit leads us to do so because he's the Spirit of glory. So we see the glory of God, we share the glory of God, and then we become part of the glory of God. We glorify Christ when we recognize his coming, because we have the Holy Spirit in us. We are meant to glorify God. And the news of this went first to the shepherds. The shepherds are called to glorify God. They're essentially the first New Testament evangelists. And they had a special role, but weren't anything special. They had a bit of a lowly occupation, sometimes a lonely one. And that's important to note because the gospel went first to those who were maybe a little in the social outside. A little bit of the lowly, a little bit of the lonely. And at this time, shepherding wasn't necessarily looked down upon, but they were generally separated from everyone else. Do you feel ever separated? Jesus wants to meet you there. And more than that, he has a reason for you to glorify him. But it's important to note that they went first to the shepherds. And this is exemplified in 2 Samuel 7:8, where it says of King David, "I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel." Church, God likes to call the people that we wouldn't. Thank God. I think he likes different perspectives, and he likes to look outside of Christian standards, because get this, I think he kind of likes to stick it to religious people. Just to let them know that they are not in charge. And he wants to use whoever he will use. Sometimes we forget, church, the awe and wonder of salvation. I love having people around me that are freshly saved, because freedom is so fresh to them. I don't have to remind them to be excited. They sometimes remind me to be excited. But God so often raises up from the bottom, from the unusable, the unlovable, the unwanted. That's exactly who God wants to use. He'll use any of us. People who are forgiven much love much. He can use any of us this morning. And I say that because as I was preparing for this message, I really felt like today someone is going to feel a call into ministry. And you need to know that it doesn't matter who you are, where you are from, what you have gone through, God suddenly moves. And so if you feel a call to ministry, you're feeling the Holy Spirit move upon you, I want you to find me after church, and we're going to get you going that direction. I really feel like that was from the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit calls and leads to give glory by saying yes. By saying yes. Again, we mentioned a while ago, the shepherds did not have to say yes, but is what they were called to do. And what does that look like? In verse 16, it says they went in haste. Church, I think sometimes we need to be more hasty with Jesus. We need to be more hasty. We, of course, need to honor him and respect him as the king, but we have to be excited that he has come and he wants to come. He wants to move in this place. He wants to do things that have not been done before here, and he wants us to be a part of that. So do we come in haste to see what God wants to do, to pray it in, to expect him to move? In verse 17, it says, they made widely known. Church, when you are excited about something, you talk about it. How often do we talk about the Lord? And I'm not saying in everything, because I like cars and music and sports and four-wheeling and fun, traveling, excitement and all that. So I'm not saying you have to be talking about how to paint a car and how, you know, Jesus paints his blood over you or something. You've met those people, right? Like, yeah. But what I'm saying is whenever you're talking, what is at the center of your life and the foremost thing on your mind is going to come out in conversation. That's a good test to what is the center of your life. What do you talk about? What do you talk about? But are we making Jesus widely known? It says, when the shepherds shared their story, people marveled. Church, this is a marvelous story. It's a marvelous story. And when you share about what God has done in history, in the Bible, and in your own life, people should be left in one of two ways. They're either left in wonder, or left wondering how crazy you are. It should be one of those two. Because this story is beyond us. Yet God includes us and allows us to give him glory. Are you excited about that? How do you do that then? We mentioned before, it's by saying yes. But what does yes look like? Well, it could be virtually anything. It is stepping out in obedience to what the Holy Spirit has called you to do. Whatever that looks like. It could be a new job. It could be a move. It could be stepping out in worship and trying to worship like the Bible says to do. It could be in faith. Maybe you feel like someone is going to get healed today. Well, church, you need to get up and pray that they will be healed. It could be stepping out in a prophetic word. It could be stepping up and volunteering in a ministry that scares you. But it is also sharing your testimony. Church, it's time to step up into all that God has called us to do. And let's make haste to do so. Because God is moving. He wants to move. And each time you are obedient, it glorifies God. I want to key in on just a moment of that. Every time you step in obedience, even if no one else sees it, God sees it. And it glorifies him. It glorifies God. The shepherds were already doing their job. They were in the midst of their occupation, and they couldn't hold in the hope of the world. I encourage you this season to share that Jesus has come. Invite someone to church, and even more so, invite someone into your life. I love this thought. Given the proximity of where Bethlehem was located compared to where the temple in Jerusalem is located, the shepherds were very likely raising sheep to be used in the temple sacrifice. I think that's so amazing because lo and behold, the very Lamb of God was also born to be sacrificed in that very town. And that just lets me know that God has a plan before we were born. And it is to glorify him. I felt like I needed to say this, that you are where you are supposed to be. You are in Wasilla, Alaska for such a time as this. And I pray, and I hope that you pray with me, that God is going to move. Do you want to be a part of that? Let's be a part of that as a church. Shepherds often represented those who care for God's people. The Lord himself described himself as a shepherd in Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. That's David speaking. He relates to the working man, the working woman. And in the case of Christmas, we see that God sent shepherds to care for Jesus in the sense of making sure the king was praised and given glory due him. Church, we have a job to do. It is to give God glory. It's to give him glory. Glory is to recognize all he is doing. The Spirit will lead us to do that. Everything we do can give God glory. Let's see the glory, share the glory, and be a part of his glory. And with that, I'm going to invite the worship team and the prayer team to come forward. Can we stand across this place if you're able? And first off, if you don't know Jesus, I want to welcome you to come and know him this morning, to come forward. And secondly, if you struggle to see the glory of God in your life, what he is doing, maybe you have looked down for so long that you feel like you cannot look up. He is calling you. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. And thirdly, today, if you realize you have not been giving God glory, that is due him. And you want to put him back as first in your life. You want to repent that he has not been first. You want to change those things up. Then I'm going to invite you to come and just do that in worship. You're welcome to pray with somebody, but if you just want to come and commit your life back to Jesus, you're welcome to do so. Or if you want your whole life to glorify him and you are struggling to step out in faith to what God has called you to, I want to invite you to come and do that. If you have any other need this morning, if you need healing, if you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you need a miracle or breakthrough, then now is the time. Come and get prayer. And then finally, if you are feeling a call to ministry on your life, like I feel like the Holy Spirit might be doing with maybe more than one this morning, I want you to come and answer that call with a yes. For any of these reasons, I want you to come forward as we just begin to worship. And if you're wanting to stay where you're at, then begin to give God all the glory you possibly can. Amen?
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.